Hiya.
Hi. I'm Abby, and for those of you who may not know me, I'm part of the youth here. So, in youth, we like games, as you may or may not have been able to tell from earlier. So, I have a quiz for you. Can you guess how long each animal here has to rest a day? So, if you think the answer is the first one, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up in a minute. And if you think it's the second one, I'll ask you to do that after that. So if you think a hamster has to... Sorry. If you think a hamster has to sleep for 5 hours a day, put your hand up now. And if you think a hamster has to sleep for 14 hours... So... It was indeed 14 hours. That seems like a lot. That's more than me. So, a giraffe. That's a rather odd-looking hamster. But if you think it's 4.5 hours of sleep a day, put your hand up now. All right. And 16.5. It is 4.5. So, since it's Mothering Sunday, I thought I might have to. A human baby. 19 to 20 hours of sleep a day. And 16 to 17 hours. It is 16 to 17 hours. Now, a sheep, my personal favourite. 8 hours a day? Or 4 hours a day? You all know your sheep trivia. All right, so I've been asked to talk about Exodus 20, 8 to 11, which is about rest. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So first, it's important to consider what the Sabbath actually means. So let's look at the root word for Sabbath. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, to cease or to stop. It's defined in the dictionary as a day of religious observance and abstinence from work kept by Jewish people from Friday evening to Saturday evening. So abstinence means to stop or to pause from doing something for a fixed period of time. This passage suggests that Sabbath is an important practice for everyone in the community to partake in. Son or daughter, foreigner, servant or otherwise, this spiritual practice is deemed important for everyone. It's not just for some people, but for all people. So, imagine, purely hypothetically, of course, if someone once a week came into your home, took your phone, took a computer, took your watch, took the car keys, and locked them all up for 24 hours. They set a perimeter to prevent you from traveling too far from your home, and someone came to live in the spare room to ensure you didn't do any work. And then they gave you a timetable of prayer and reading the Bible for the day. Some of you might love it. Brilliant. Someone else to make sure that I rest. But I imagine it wouldn't take lots of time before it stopped feeling like a gift and started to feel more like an infringement of your freedom. So as we think about Sabbath, it's worth remembering it's a gift, which is really what Jesus was getting on about in our passage from Exodus. It was not like God made the Sabbath and then looked to create beings to adhere to it. Instead, God makes people, and the Sabbath is a gift to us. So, why is stopping important? So, first of all, while the Bible tells us God rested on the Sabbath day, It doesn't say he rested because he was tired. As we know, God doesn't faint or grow weary, as Isaiah 40:28 says. But instead, he rested to look over what he created and to enjoy it, and to set an example for us, asserting the importance of rest days. We are creatures that need rest. We can't just work all the time, regardless of what we're told. We physically need a rest day, as if we were working continuously, we would reach the point of burnout. We are made to need time resting and recharging. Secondly, we stop in order to stop, but also because it empties our hands so we have space to do something else that brings us closer to God. Having a day to focus on God is a gift, which helps our spiritual lives to flourish. Our goal is not productivity, but instead proximity. It's a time to stop, regardless of whether we're finished or halfway through a project, because we will never be completely done. As Christians, we're called apart. And as Christians, our value and purpose is not to be busy and accomplish as much as we can and to earn as much money as we can, but to be close to our Heavenly Father. So this is a day to define God's people. Next, it's important to know, even in our lives, it's not uncommon to stop and take a day off after finishing something meaningful and beautiful. We don't stop afterwards just to rest. We stop to reflect upon and to enjoy what was just accomplished. When God rested on the seventh day, he set for us an example. He gave the weekly Sabbath as a day of rest and worship for all of mankind. On the Sabbath, we pause to take notice, learn more, and express gratitude to our Creator and all he has provided for us. The Sabbath can therefore be viewed as a memorial, a day when we remember God's power. He showed us an example to rest because we need it physically and spiritually. Finally, observing the Sabbath shows our commitment to honor and worship God. It will bring us closer to the Lord and to our church family. It will give us an eternal perspective and spiritual strength. The Sabbath also allows us to rest from our physical labors and worship the Lord. So, when we know we need Sabbath, what stops us from taking it? Our culture wants us to be busy, partly because we buy things if we're busy, but partly because I think we're recovering from a mindset that began back in the Industrial Revolution and persists today. Work makes us busy, and house prices rising makes it difficult for the next generation to buy a house without both working. And that's made it busy, and often has meant grandparents step in frequently with childcare. But it's not just work that's made us busy. The narrative that children need a full exposure to clubs, sports, and etc. has made us busy and feeling guilty if they're not doing more and more and more things. Busyness and distraction prevent many people from exploring faith and many Christians from growing in faith. Sabbath will not be easy to start with. It may start as an inconvenience, as a pause we don't feel we have time for. As we partake in the Sabbath, it starts out as a spiritual discipline and becomes a pattern for our lives. So what would it take for us to each reclaim the gift of Sabbath? So what might a Sabbath look like for you? It might look like turning your phone off, turning your computer off, sitting down and reading your Bible and praying and being still. It might look like seeing friends, doing something you love doing, but being free not to. And just to recuperate and remember your value and your worth is not founded upon what you do, but upon the fact you are part of the people of God. You are his, and you don't need to prove your worth. What I'd most like you to take away from my talk is that Sabbath is a God-given gift to his people. So, we now have a video.
Where do you feel most at peace?
There's a train that runs from pretty close to my house to a beach that's about 6 minutes away. So when I was younger, I always used to go there with my friends, and now I just go there sometimes on my own, and it makes me feel really peaceful.
I'm in a chair, I've got this chance, and when I get some peace, like after I've done my work, then I'll go into my chair and kind of, you know, take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes maybe read the Bible a bit.
When I'm reading.
When I'm at home, alone, in my room.
When I'm doing music, whether it's writing music or making music.
When I'm out walking.
I feel most at peace in nature.
At home listening to worship music.
How would you define Sabbath?
Probably a day of rest.
A time, not necessarily a full day, but a bit of time, that I've spent with God just alone.
A day of rest. And you spend time with God and have no distractions.
A resting day, a day to worship God, because it's like his birthday.
God, instead of being with something else, so you're kind of giving something else up on this day to be with God, instead of doing all of your normal stuff, then you're giving up this one very special day to be with God.
For me, Sabbath is about using the free time that I get in my week, however long that is, like developing my relationship with God.
A time like of peace.
Half the camera's covered.
No, we can see you.
Oh, I have to stop.
So as you can see, we made this video just to give you a little background of what some of our youth do on their Sabbath days. And I would like to say a big thank you to everyone who was involved in that. We really do appreciate it. Well, we were a little bit unsure how we were going to bridge our talks, and then the lovely young people volunteered to do this, so we do really appreciate it. So I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and picture the word rest. Picture what you imagine. I'm not going to leave you for too long. Nothing weird's going to happen, don't worry. Open your eyes. So some of you might have been picturing things like this. This is me in a tent, actually. It was not a pleasant night's rest, but I might have been asleep in that photo. So I did appreciate that being taken and showed to me in the morning. But a lot of people would picture things like this when they think of rest, but rest can be found elsewhere. For me, I find peace in sport. So I play netball, which is why I said netball for the question that I got asked in the interview. This is me and my lovely netball team, and a couple of pictures of me. I am a goal shooter. While physically I'm not resting, this allows me to find time to clear my mind and focus and pray. As you saw on the video, others find this when they're reading or when they're running or when they're doing music. Sabbath is different for everybody, and that's all right. It doesn't have to be the same for everybody. So I wanted to focus on how we can allow Sabbath to fit into our crazy lives, because I know that a lot of people out there have a really busy schedule and it can just seem like you don't have time. But I'm going to give you some tips and tricks, so don't worry, guys. My first tip is to start small. Because you've never done it before, it's not something, if you went into it and you were like, you know what, I'm going to do 24 hours of this, like, you wouldn't be able to manage it. And I'm not trying to say that you're all rubbish at this, but 24 hours is too long for a first time. So if you take 10 minutes or half an hour or even an hour, that's long enough to start. So I was brought up in a National Trust family. For the people in the room who don't know what that means, it means that my family took me to like every castle in England and up every mountain possible. This is me at 4 years old at the top of Captain Cook's with my lovely siblings. And, you know, when you first start doing things like this, when I first walked up Captain Cook's and Rosary Topping, I couldn't do it by myself. I needed to hold my mum's hand, or I needed my dad to carry me, because I was small and that was a massive thing for me. But now I could do that with my eyes shut, because I've done it like every single year for the entirety of my 17 years on this world. So it doesn't matter if you struggle with it. It doesn't matter if you need a helping hand. It doesn't matter if you need to start small. For example, this is where I was like going with this. Captain Cook's, it's not that big. It's big for when you're like little like that, but like now I would happily climb up something much bigger. Like Rosemary Topping feels a lot bigger, or mountains in the Lake District I could climb up. We can need that helping hand at first, but over time you'll be able to get it better and better and better. And now I don't need to be carried up these hills. My second tip is make it into a habit. So make it something like cleaning your teeth or like exercising. You don't even have to think about doing things like that because you just do it. It's just something you've always done. And the more you do Sabbath, the more important it's going to become in your life, and the more you're going to just naturally want to do it because it will become like a natural instinct to you. My next point is to keep working at it. It doesn't matter if it's difficult. Stuff I've got as an example is I'm 17 and I am currently learning to drive. And back in October when I first started, I had my first lesson a couple of weeks after I turned 17 and I was so excited. I get in the car and I spend an hour and a half of my two-hour lesson in the passenger seat. And I'm thinking, this is easy. I'm having a great time. If this is what I've got to do for the rest of the driving experience, I can do it. Then Duncan says, get out and get into the driving seat. And I was like, okay. So I get in and we're both seatbelted in. I was like, make sure your seatbelt's very tightly fastened, very tight, because I'm worried. And I get in and I'm like, start the engine. And I start it. We go about 10 metres and I stall the car. And then we start the engine again and I go another 10 metres and I stall the car. And we go another 10 metres and I stall the car because I'd never done it before. No one expects you to get it right first time. Duncan didn't turn around like, get out. I'm not teaching you. You can't do it. Because I'd never tried to drive before. So the more you do something, the easier it's going to get. I have some pictures here of the sun rises and sunsets, and also the two on the far side, don't know my left or right, they are in Mexico. Sometimes the hardest journeys and the most difficult things and stuff you've never done before, you get the nicest results and the prettiest skies. And the more you do Sabbath, it's just going to get easier and it's going to become natural, because if you've never done it before, no one expects you to get it right. It doesn't matter how you do it. It's just that you take that time and you honour God with it. It doesn't matter how you do that. So I've got a list of ways you can practice Sabbath. So one, you can read the Bible. That's always a great place to start. Lovely book, would recommend. Number two, you can pray. Excellent idea also, would recommend. Clear your head. That's what I like to do when I play sport. That's how I manage to find time. This one's really difficult, guys. Brace yourselves. A day off social media. Or it could just be an hour away from your phone to get rid of the expectation of being like other people. You could worship. We've had a lot of that this morning with our lovely worship band. You can always find times where you can clear your mind and find that rest, even if you're not physically just sat in bed like the first photos. So I think that the most important thing, while we're going to move on to response in a minute, and the most important thing I think coming from these talks is that your response is going to be different. Everybody's response is going to be different because we're all different. And that is what's the beauty about Sabbath.